Blog Talk Radio.
This is the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Mike Sterner, he's going to be with me. We're going to talk a little bit of Michigan State baseball to this point. Most recently, a 7-3 extra innings victory over Central Michigan. Before that, they upset the preseason Big Ten favorite, the Michigan Wolverines, 11-5. But first, this is a Michigan State-centric podcast, so most of you may know him as Enoch Smith Jr.'s dad, but we have former Arena Football League player and NJCAA All-American Enoch Smith Sr. on the show with us. He's actually with us right now. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm awesome. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well. Thank you for coming on. Now, we want to talk to you about a camp that you're running. It's called Starts Up Front. I think most of us who have a somewhat decent understanding of the game of football can figure out why it's called that. But why start up this camp?
Well, it's very important. I'm actually co-hosting it with the organization called College Recruiting Unlimited. And why this camp, 7-on-7, goes on year-round. Quarterback development, running back, all the skilled guys, they receive all of the love. And in transition, in the underdevelopment of the O-line, D-line, we come to understand that it all starts up front. And as Nelson Mandela made an important statement, he said sports has the power to change lives. Being in the state of Illinois, knowing Chicago, it's under-resourced. Just trying to give some of the student-athletes in the community opportunity at low prices for high school, elementary guys, give them opportunity to have college, you know, recruitment potential, and just trying to start them off at an early start because we see that they're so underdeveloped when we're doing these camps. So it all starts up front.
Enoch, when and where are you going to hold some of these camps?
Well, the first camp is going to be at the Rosemont, located here in Illinois. It's going to be May 21st, and we've got 24/7 Sports, Yahoo Sports. We've got Rivals. We've got a host of the social media that's coming out. So it's going to be May 21st, located in the Rosemont Dome here in Illinois.
Again, Enoch Smith Sr. joining us. He's going to talk about it starts up front camp, dedicated to helping offensive defensive linemen develop their skills. You have a few different packages that people can take advantage of. Break those down for us.
Sure. The first package we'll start off, it's either the gold, silver, or bronze, and it breaks down to like weekly college and the developmental training. The gold package that we have, it gives the student athlete a month worth of training. They get 12 workouts for $210, and it basically breaks down to $17.50 per session. We're not trying to rob the student athlete. We're trying to get them, you know, under our wing so we can develop them on a monthly basis. With that, they get an assessment as well to see where they need to strengthen their game. The silver package breaks down for four workouts, and that's pretty much field training. The bronze is a one-day event when they're not members. So the training camps basically break down this way: Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Tuesday and Thursday, they're with us from 7 to 9 p.m. getting O-line, D-line training. And on Saturday, they're doing field work, all one-on-one combat. After they do their warm-ups, getting themselves prepared to, you know, see live action, get prepared for the camp life. And for that student-athlete that need collegiate help as far as the recruiting, we network and we work with colleges to get them, you know, recognized at a high level. And, you know, our workouts consist of the private training as well. What they will receive, eighth graders, you know, fourth through eighth grader, we're trying to start them off young because we know that there are a lot of youth programs that's out here that's training student-athletes, and some of them need the necessary skills and they need to be taught the right way. So if you look at my background on the webpage, it will show I've been doing this from the youth level on up. So we're working with the youth as well as high school, and over the summer what we're going to add to our package is a college two-a-day for the student-athletes who are returning home in the Illinois area that really don't have anything to do. So we're trying to train them as well, giving them the full workout in the morning, and then we'll do field workout exposure so they can continue to develop over the summer course and they go back to university ready and to rock and roll.
a couple of the other camps that are dedicated to skill positions, but I know that there are a couple dedicated to the men up front, as you put it. Why your camp? I understand you got a background in it. You've been an NJCAA All-American. You've been in the Arena League. You've had an opportunity for a second from what I've seen with the New Orleans Saints. Why your camp?
Why my camp? It's important that you ask that, Tyler. It's very important that you ask that. My camp gives the big guys up front the absolute resources to stand out. When we look at the camps, we see most of the MVPs are the quarterback skills position. But what we do, it starts up front. We recognize the big guys first, because no quarterback's great unless he has the people that's up front that's working together. So we call this the we team. The we is the big boys. They have to work in unison to make everything work perfectly. If they don't do their job up front, it's not going to work. So starts up front, we want the big boys to be recognized. That's why we have them on their own specific field, learning and developing. It's not pushing them towards the back. We're highlighting them instead of highlighting the quarterbacks, skill position, and all those guys. They'll have their own field, but we want to know at this camp, it's all about the big boys, because the more that they do, the more holes are open, the more protection they provide. The receivers can catch, the running backs can run through holes, and the game is won either on the defensive side or the offensive side of the ball, and it all starts up front.
Awesome. Enoch, if people want to find out more about your camp, how can they contact you? What contact information do you have for them?
Wonderful. You can go to my website directly at www.startsupfront.com. And on my page, it will have home about the founder, products, and advertisement. On the advertisement page, you can click on it. The flyer will pop up for you, and it has the information that says click flyer to register right above that. You can go directly there, and it will take you through the process. And right now, we're looking to do a early registration all the way up, and I think it's until May the 5th, and then the price will kick up a little bit. So right now, we have a open market for $75 for registration, and from there we'll kick up to approximately $90. So we're trying to give everyone who's interested from, from the Illinois Midwest area an opportunity to, let's focus on the big boys right now. Let's get them out there. Let's get them developed, because through the months of December through approximately June, they're sitting around not getting this work. So we want them to develop and, prosper and do some great things.
Now, like I said earlier, this is a Michigan State podcast, so I think it's safe to assume that your son went through this training schedule with you. Who else have you trained? Who else would we know that you have trained?
Well, it's important that you ask that. As you see, if you look over my page, the camps that I've done Chicago Showcase, Eddie Kim, Senior Showcast, Sound Mind, Sound Body, the Adidas Showcase, and during the Adidas Showcase, it was one that stood out. It was the Antoine Robertson, a student from Indiana who, after the camp was over, he asked me how he can develop and, train a little bit more. So he's one of the names that stands out. Wesley Anon, he's a defensive tackle who's at Stanford right now. Nathan Aquindo, he's at Western Illinois. Daniel Joseph is a guy that actually was recruited by Michigan State, and he's heading off to Penn State. Fontrell Williams, Dex Xavier, Kelly Martin's at Illinois State. I mean, Devontae Dunn, he's probably one of the highest rated D tackles in the state of Illinois that Michigan State's considering. Chris Stapleton, and the list continues to go on and on. I mean, I've touched bases with Thomas Schaefer. He's an offensive lineman heading over to Stanford. Kevin Jarvis has been at a camp that I've been a part of. So, I mean, it's a ton of student-athletes. I can't remember all of their names, but those are some names that definitely stand out, and they've connected with the MSU area. Michigan area.
Yeah, that's a rather impressive resume that you've put together in such a short time. Especially, we're going to go off topic just for a second here, because I know you have a strong opinion on the NCAA's recent ruling regarding satellite camps, and them pretty much ending the camps entirely. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, yeah, it's very important that you ask that, Tyler. When we go out to camps, it's very important to have a college recruiter, a college coach, you know, someone who has a background at the camp, because otherwise it seems like it's worthless. I mean, it's a point of just putting your money into it and not really receiving any benefits. But when you look at camps such as, you know, Mind, Sound Body, these camps, they have the coaches directly there providing feedback to the student-athlete. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to work on. And, you know, it's very important that coaches are there, because I'm starting with my son. When we went through the process, he went to multiple camps, and when he got the feedback, he took it to heart. And Michigan State was one of the schools that actually honestly told him, kid, you're not going to be ready to play this ball game. And it was when he was a freshman during that time, he went through the process. He felt that he was on top of the world. But when he got that feedback, and the coach, I think it was Coach Terry, I forgot his last name, he was a D-line coach at that time. He assumed my son was a senior in how big he was, but he was actually a freshman. So receiving that kind of direct feedback, and the coach told him he wasn't ready, it made him work even harder, and he had to prove himself over and over and realize that, man, I have a lot of work to do if I want to achieve a scholarship at the next level. And it just pushed him. Yeah, it's beneficial to everyone when it comes to it, because my goal is to make sure that the student-athlete has a scholarship opportunity at Division I, II, III, NAI, wherever it may be. When the coaches are there, they're right on hand. They can give feedback. They have their information, and it just helps the camp field as a whole university. It's just beneficial.
Again, if you want to find out more or register a player for the Starts Up Front camp, you can search Starts Up Front on Facebook or go to www.startsupfront.com. Enoch, we know you got to get going. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck with the camp.
I greatly appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you. Again, that was Enoch Smith Sr., obviously the father of Enoch Smith Jr., who is a very good defensive lineman at Michigan State University. Mike, I kind of wanted to touch on this for a second before we focus on the MSU baseball team. He was talking about the role of satellite camps, and it seemed to stress a lot regarding the importance, if you will, of getting names out there and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on the camps?
I believe that Enoch is spot on with that. There's a lot of high school athletes who wouldn't be able to get exposure otherwise if these camps didn't exist. There's a whole lot of things that factor into that. You talk about affordability, ability to get to a campus or not. Well, there's a lot of, for instance, we'll take Sound Mind, Sound Body. There's a lot of student athletes for high school in the Detroit area. So if you can get somebody down there, if you can get coaches there checking out some of these players and giving them that kind of feedback Enoch talked about, it's really beneficial to them because they may not be able to get up to East Lansing or Ann Arbor or, you know, Mount Pleasant or wherever it is, Kalamazoo, as easily, or even, you know, Columbus. There's some out-of-state schools that even come in. So these are how some of these kids get their first offers and get their first looks and their names on the boards for the different schools that come to this. So it's a very important process. So I'm interested to see whether they're going to overturn this ruling. I think there's been such a pushback on social media. You're seeing a lot of people. There was a hashtag, I can't remember what it was, something NCAA, where all these current college athletes and then some of the high school athletes were tweeting, you know, we need to overturn this. These camps were huge for my offers for the current college athletes, and the high school athletes are thinking to themselves, you know, how am I gonna get my name out there now? So I honestly think that this is going to be overturned at this point. I was thinking about this. I don't know how long it would take, but this is just it's an awful decision that was made by the NCAA. There's really no two ways about it. And I don't know. It's kind of, it's saddening because, you know, this is a big deal to these guys, and for them to have that avenue completely taken away, it's just sad, and there's really no justification for it to me.
I mean, you look at some of these areas that, I mean, it's even possible for very good players to get overlooked. Obviously, to the extreme, let's say a school in the Midwest decided to go down to Florida, which I think that was ultimately the straw that broke the camel's back was them going down to Florida and Alabama and everything else. I think that was the one that kind of pushed it over the edge. If the NCAA was, in fact, actually considering getting rid of them before this controversy happened. But there's a lot of talent, even in Ohio, the Chicago area, the Detroit area, that does get overshadowed by some of the other players in that region. And so these camps are important for some of those guys to get that opportunity. Well, we had Enoch Smith Sr. on. His kid, he realized what he had to work on. He understood all of that. And he's a really good football player. Obviously, the Michigan State coaches share that same sentiment that it does actually start up front. You look at it, Michigan State had one of the better offensive lines, even though last year it was banged up so you couldn't see it in full effect, and had one of the best defensive lines in the entire country. And it's because they're able to get these guys who can come in and they can fill a void, and they do it with such ease. And some of these guys were overlooked. I'm not 100% sure about the recruiting situation with Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin didn't have a scholarship offer until Michigan State was literally going to go play junior college ball somewhere. And probably would have latched on and started just because of his size alone. But now you're looking at a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. And if he's lucky, obviously he won't go to Detroit. But he's developed his skill enough at some of these camps, or he was seen at one of these camps where otherwise he would have been overlooked.
Yeah, it's kind of disheartening to see that the NCAA really is doing this. And honestly, you brought up an unnamed coach, and I'll break the egg. It was, you're talking about Jim Harbaugh, and I'll be honest with you. I actually agreed with what some of the coaches were saying. I think Mike Leach in particular said that there was petty jealousy of Jim Harbaugh that caused this ruling. I actually don't disagree with that statement at all, because it really, I mean, honestly, if the problem is going down to Florida and going down to Alabama and places like that, then you tell Jim Harbaugh he can't go to Florida and Alabama. And then you say stay in the Midwest, which is that would be a whole lot better than what they did with banning him altogether. But instead, you know, the NCAA, they had to have gotten pressured from all around, but especially I know the SEC had pressured them, and, you know, they don't want anybody down there. So, you know, just because, you know, they don't want people down there doesn't mean it's not an overall beneficial thing for these kids. And it doesn't matter if you're an SEC athlete, a Big Ten, a Pac-12, all these camps are all around the country. And to take them away because of one coach, and which I don't agree with that. I don't. And even if what Jim Harbaugh was doing was excessive, you'd say to Jim Harbaugh, you can't do this anymore, and you can only stay in the Midwest. At least if you did that, then you're not going to be completely ripping away a source of being evaluated and getting offers for these kids. It's kind of sad, and I really do believe that this is probably going to get overturned at some point.
Yeah, and the thing about Michigan, too, going down there is Michigan, I get Michigan has more resources for football than pretty much anybody in the country. Alabama would probably be the one exception. Ohio's pretty talent-rich.
you know,
what's stopping Alabama? What's stopping Florida? Because I know they've got some of the money. I know Auburn invests their money in football. They definitely don't do it in basketball. They can go up to Ohio and snag some of these kids where Michigan State's been so successful. You go up to Ohio, maybe you get a kid from Illinois, from the Chicago area. Maybe you get a kid from Detroit to come down and get an opportunity to work out in front of a guy like Nick Saban, who, I mean, let's face it, Spartan fans we don't like. Ball coach, though. So
yeah.
it gives you that opportunity. And just because the talent in the South is so much more dense than it is up here in the Midwest, they don't feel like they need any of those kids, when in actuality, it would probably help some of their teams. Again, Alabama is a little bit on the extreme side, but you know what? Michigan did quite all right with a few kids from Detroit when they ran over Florida in their bowl game. So
yeah,
it would benefit everybody. It would benefit everybody, not just the kids. We got about 10 minutes left. Speaking of that other school, Michigan State the other day, big win over Michigan. Michigan was the preseason favorite in the Big Ten, which I'm pretty sure we've all learned by now to associate that phrase preseason favorite to U of M every time we mention them. Six right now, which is one of the best starts that they've ever had in school history. They don't get on TV, though. Jake Foss has quietly made this program the best it's been in about 130 years. They probably should have been in the tournament last year, and that would have been just the second time since 1979. They made it in 2012. What, other than Jake Foss, obviously, Mike, what do you attribute to the success of this team?
Well, there's a lot of experience in this program. I think it was even in, I want to say either, it was either 2013 or 2014, Michigan State was actually the first team left out of the NCAA tournament, which was shocking.
Yep.
You don't usually talk about bubble teams there. So they've been around that helm of getting over the top to be an NCAA tournament team several times the last few years. And the same can be said this year. And I think this is, you know, the goal is to win the Big Ten, which is something they haven't done in that time. The goal is to win the conference so that they can get in. You got a guy like Jordan Zimmerman hitting .427. You know, that's incredible. That's incredible stuff. He's got 19 RBIs. And then you got two other guys on the team with 19 plus RBIs, and Taylor Grace and Brandon Hughes. So the offense has been working pretty well, and we've seen that against Michigan. I think it was the seventh inning is where they exploded with the bats with six runs. So that's been going pretty well. And then, like you said, Jake Boss is a big part of this. It's what he's attributed to this program. He's got players that have been here for a while. He's starting to get some recruits. I know a guy I know personally, Chris Simonton. He came from Akron. Akron shut their baseball program down this past year, and he came into Michigan State because of the possibility of going to the NCAA tournament, and he's added 8 RBIs himself and is hitting above 300. So you're starting to get people to want to come to this program. It's never going to be to the SEC level programs, because let's face it, you can't play half the time. You're getting your games canceled in March when there's snow on the ground in Michigan, but they are good enough to be a premier Big Ten program, and that's what Jake Boss has made this program. And you never know, you know, baseball is the same way as the NCAA tournament in basketball. You have to win a 3-game series, but at the same time, you could sneak your way in and, you know, surprise somebody in the tournament and find your way to the College World Series. It's very possible.
Well, let's just say, as a Michigan State fan, I would love the 3-game series against Middle Tennessee if it's like basketball. But look, the team is very successful. It's never going to get the love, it's unfortunate to say, that I mean, Jake Voss isn't going to get the love that Tomlinson got. He's obviously not going to get the love that Mark D'Antonio's got. He's not even going to get the same type of love that Susie Merchant is getting, ultimately. It's pretty down the depth chart, if you will, as far as a revenue sports goes. But this team is doing some big things. Like I said, Michigan's a preseason favorite for the Big Ten. They beat them by 6 runs. Had a huge win yesterday. You talked about it being a little while since Michigan State's won the Big Ten championship in baseball. They've got a 2-game lead on Michigan right now, saying that because their schedule ultimately up until the Michigan game, and they are only 4-3 over their last 7.
Yeah, it's something I think they can sustain. They go in this weekend and they play a Purdue team that's at the bottom of the conference. So I could see them sweeping that series and winning 3 games there. And they had almost swept Penn State last weekend. They lost on a walk-off hit against the Nittany Lions in Happy Valley. So, yeah, I think they definitely can. Actually, if you look at Michigan State's losses, you know, some of them are just a little bit surprising. You know, the loss against Eastern Michigan, the loss against Oakland, those games are not necessarily the ones you would have expected them to lose with the success that they've had this year. But that's baseball, where you're going to, you know, anything can happen on any given day. You play so many games that these teams can come up and surprise you. So Michigan State, you know, I think they would take where they're at. They have one conference loss. You can't really be too upset with that. I think the series with Nebraska, I want to say in the first week of May, I think, if I remember right, that's going to be a big series. That's really going to decide a lot of things in terms of where this conference goes. And then you also play Michigan in a couple weeks here in April. You got, I believe it's 2 games at home and then 1 in Ann Arbor. So if you can take 2 of those 3, then you're looking pretty good for winning a conference championship.
Yeah, and I mean, that obviously is the first goal up on any Spartans list is, you know, beat Michigan and then win the conference. This would obviously help both cases with this series that is coming up. Mike, that does it for us. We're out of time. Thanks to Enoch Smith Sr. for coming on again. If you want to find out more, register a player from Starts Up Front Camp for offensive and defensive linemen, you can search Starts Up Front on Facebook or go to startsupfront.com. I am Tyler Hayward. For Mike Sterner, you've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Feeder Report.